When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Right now, we've got a caller on the line that's got his balls in the washer, and he's getting ready to tee him up. So before he does that, he definitely wants to get in here and talk with his Houston fan base. Kevin McHale joining us. We gave you a lot of vacation time in the last couple weeks, Coach, so we need to get you in.
Appreciate it, guys. I'm here. What's up?
You tell me. Rockets lose to the Jazz last night. They've lost two in a row. Tough one to the Spurs. We, including you, have talked about don't sleep on the Utah Jazz, but yes. People in Houston better be believers now, because in the rearview mirror, those objects are a lot closer than they appear, and they're only three games out of the three spot.
Yeah, no, I tell you what, Utah's been playing really well. I thought they were going to have a big breakout year last year. I was kind of surprised that they didn't. But they had injuries, had some stuff, but they've had the year, this year is the year I thought they were going to start having last year. So they have all the talent. I mean, you know, they got shot blocking, they got favors who will bang you, they got guys that can beat you off the dribble, they got guys that can make shots. But most importantly, I just think they compete every single night. They're one of the teams that, honestly, when we coached against that team, even though I thought we were better when I was in Houston with the guys, it always concerned me because they had, those guys were going to compete. Quinn Snyder's got them playing hard on a nightly basis, and I like watching them play.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at it last night. You know, a lot of people here, too, Coach, are talking about the fact that, you know, this whole MVP race, and I think the Rockets need to be more focused on just trying to secure the three spot, getting the best position they possibly can, and trying to do get the right matchups to try to do some damage, especially with Golden State being injured. But this MVP conversation won't go away. What Kawhi Leonard did the other night for the Spurs against the Rockets started to put him on the map nationally to get more attention. Where are you on the MVP voting and who sits where?
Well, you know, I still think that James and Harden, and I'm putting Kawhi in that, and just because of guys like Isaiah Thomas. I mean, he's having a heck of a year. Now, he's not going to get it, but you just mention his name in there because he's having that good of a year, you know. And so it's nice for guys like him to get some recognition. But I thought that up until now, really, I thought James was really the guy that I would give it to. I still might be leaning towards James right now, but as it becomes more evident that you know, Westbrook's going to average a triple double, which you know I really think he's going to do it, which is amazing. And then you got Kawhi Leonard, and just the two way game that he plays all the time, you know, against the Rockets, that big shot that he hits, the three, and then the block shot on James. He makes plays on both sides of the ball, and you know he would be more in the conversation, I think, but he's so unassuming. He just doesn't ever tout, you know, toot his own horn. He's not touting anything he's doing. I tell you what, you got to give him some love. And I don't know if Westbrook averages a triple double, that he just doesn't get it, because I never thought, you know, when the Magic's and those types, 6'8", 6'9", unbelievably versatile type guys, Birdie, LeBron, when they couldn't do it, I never thought a 6'4 guard would do it.
Coach, what do you make of the parity in the NBA going on right now? I mean, Golden State dropped one last night to Boston. The Cavs are on a two-game losing streak. You know, the Rockets are struggling here a little bit. I mean, do you like seeing this where it looks like everybody kind of has a chance to beat up on everybody else?
Well, everybody has a chance to beat up on everybody else right now. I think things will change once the playoffs start. I just think, you know, honestly, I'll tell you what, Cleveland's not playing well. Golden State's been funky since Kevin Durant, you know, hurt his knee. Cleveland's trying to, they're going to bring back Love. They're trying to incorporate JR. They were trying to incorporate Bogey, but that lasted 2 minutes, but they're trying to incorporate Derek Williams when Love left. He's getting acclimated. Darren Williams. So they have a lot of changes. They're not playing well. I'm watching them. They are not playing well. You can say what you want. Cleveland is not playing well. But I do believe Love comes back. I think J.R. Smith gets back and, you know, just gets in his rhythm. Darren Williams finds out, you know, how he's going to be able to help that team. They're still going to be a tough team to beat. I don't believe, though, that if if Durant doesn't come back and play for Golden State, I don't think there's any way that they come out of the West. I really don't. I think that Houston could get them. I think San Antonio could get them. I just think they've lost a lot of depth, with getting KD. But so I agree with you. I wouldn't say there's a lot of parity in the league, which I do like, but the top teams just aren't playing well right now. But that will change, when the playoffs start. I think the top teams are going to find their rhythm, and you're going to see, you're going to see San Antonio could walk down Golden State right now with Golden State's kind of funky and get that number one seed, which is amazing. And you can tell the number one seed means very little to Popovich. Hell, he rested his guys last night, and they come back from 30 points down, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, and you've seen that before, and I've mentioned it on the show, the fact that Popovich just doesn't care about division titles. He just wants to be healthy and get the right matchups in the playoffs, simply because if for no other reason, he got burned in that 4-5 matchup a few years ago, and he doesn't want to sit there and say, hey, I got the glory of getting a division title, but I also got a matchup in the first round that didn't suit me, and we got bounced, and they're all about winning championships there, so he knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, no question. And I of all the teams we talked about, the contending top teams, I'd say they're playing as well as anybody. In the Eastern Conference, the Celtics lost some games, but if they go out, I can't remember who they finished their trip with. They finished their trip with Denver. They finished their trip with Denver, a 5-game West Coast trip. They go 3-2 on that trip. That's a good trip. I mean, going out west playing the tough teams, you're gonna lose a few games. But Washington's been playing well in the Eastern Conference. I think they're a team. Don't sleep on them. They've been playing much better. But once the playoffs start, it's going to be fun. You're going to see some fun matchups, and everybody better be playing well. I always have said that you start winning that championship, in March and April. I mean, you really start playing great basketball. You get in the playoffs on a hot streak. You're playing well. You got your lineup. You got health. You got your rotations. You know who you're going to play when you play big. You know who you're going to play when you play small. You know who you got to play when you need to change the tempo to go from faster to slower or slower to faster. And you have all the answers on your roster. You're excited to go.
Coach, you say good things happen to good people in this world. With that being said, how ecstatic were you to see Matt Barnes sign with the Warriors?
Fantastic. He gets a ring. KD comes back, he gets a ring. Matt Barnes is just, okay. Good things happen to good people. There you go.
See, I know you're going to play that one off, but that I've not been shy about saying he's my least favorite player in the entire league. But I know that I mentioned having been courtside right by you guys during that Clippers series. There's a guy that just doesn't care. He was in your huddle several times. I mean, he's annoying as annoying gets, and yet he gets an opportunity like that.
Yeah, no, I hear you. That's one of those things that, but they don't do it anymore. But even in our series, I thought for sure at some point it was going to get nasty. Just a lot of stuff had happened between Barnes and, James's family and everything else. And so I thought it was going to get crazy. But, everybody just kind of leaves him alone. Evidently, when he beat up Derek Fisher, everybody said, we're going to leave him alone. I think he and Derek got into it. And so I don't know. He's one of those guys that I got to believe that KD's not coming back. I think that's why they're kind of looking for help. I just when you have a bone bruise in your knee and they're saying he's being reevaluated, I saw him last night did his press conference and
he had the entire brace on. Yep.
You know what I mean? And his crutches, you're like, oh man, I don't know if he's coming back. And again, they lost so much depth to sign him. I don't care who they sign from this point on, they're not going to, I don't think they can win the West. But you know it's interesting. Darren Williams decides to go to, he can go anywhere. Darren Williams decides to go to Cleveland. Bogut goes to Cleveland. I thought, I don't know because I honestly haven't looked at Golden State's salary thing, but I didn't see any of the release guys talking about Golden State. But Barnes did, but I didn't see any of the bigger names. Did you?
No, Well, but the thing is, Coach, and again, I don't know how much you want to get into this, but I've heard it from several people that I know. Darren Williams has a really bad reputation in the locker room.
Yes.
And so for me, it was like, well, he better understand what he's getting into and better understand whatever he's been pulling in the past ain't going to fly in that locker room.
Oh, you're right. You're, look, I wouldn't. You know what? There's some groups that you go to that you just say the force of the personalities on their team and the force of their team. The team has a collective, whatever you want to call it, grit, a collective toughness, a collective whatever. Like Cleveland, I don't care what kind of person Darren Williams is. He's not going to affect those guys. They're tied in. They're defending champs. They got something big they're trying to accomplish. So I don't see that that he could bother them, and I don't really see him being able to bother you know, Golden State and that kind of chemistry they have there. But you know, Golden State, just like I said, is just funky. When Steph Curry is not making those crazy shots that he makes, which are phenomenal, fun to watch, but you know, he starts missing those shots, and then you saw it in games, what, 5, 6, and 7 last year in the finals. Things change on that team when he's not making those shots.
All right, Coach, before we let you go, we got a question from a listener via the text line. They want to know, do you plan on coaching in the NBA again?
No.
Really?
Yeah, no. No, wow. I would never say never, but it would have to be such a situation where the veteran team, you know, close to winning, guys that are really committed to winning, guys that aren't, that don't have individual agendas and all the crap you go through. And
a job for Joel.
It just isn't, you know, when you're fighting to try to get the guys to just compete on a nightly basis, there, you know, it gets frustrating. But you know, the guys you really enjoy, like there are guys in our league that you would love to coach. I mean, you know, and they just play. They don't. There's no drama. They're not worried about everything else. They just go out and play basketball. So if you had a team full of those guys, you know, that would be fun.
So a job for Joel was on that list, as well as you. And I can't say your pet name for the media. But my partner here has been indoctrinated to the fact that he is now officially a part of the media. But I've mentioned on several occasions that your least favorite time is talking to the media.
When you're a coach, you know, like talking to you guys now when I do the TNT stuff, you know, that's all fun. When you're a coach, yeah, you know, you're so guarded. What are you going to say? Yeah, you know, we're going to trap game 5. What are you going to do differently? Yeah, you know, we're going to trap KD every time. And every time he touches it, so he gets to know what you're doing, you know? So you're out with the media, you just never really say anything. It's just a big kind of shell game. And I didn't enjoy that part of it because you really couldn't even be, there's no way you could even think about being honest and telling the media what you're going to do. You just don't want to give away your game plans. And so most of that stuff you guys hear from the coaches, that's why it sounds so panned and so repetitive. Everybody just says the same thing. It's like on Bull Durham when he's on
happy to help the team. Good Lord willing, everything works out in the end.
Exactly. And you know what? Just like when he's trying to help meet on the team bus, baby. That's all you get.
We appreciate you spending some time with us, Coach. And by the way, the guy that took credit for giving you pointers the first time you were dealing with the media with me, and then the next day on the show said that's why you won. He's now on our station, so at some point I'll have to make that happen. There's a reunited and it feels so good moment that has to happen between you and Fred Davis.
Oh, me, Fred and I. Okay, well, all right. Well, let me know when we're going to have that reunited feel so good meeting. Okay.
All right, you Peaches and Herb, go tee it up and hit your and play 18. We appreciate you joining us.
I know what you guys are going to talk. You're going to talk Houston football now, aren't you?
You want to tell us where Romo's going?
Well, you know what? Hey, the big rumor was he was just going to travel, you know, down the road and come right to Houston. What do you think about that?
Believe me, there's plenty of people that have a lot to think about that. So, yeah, we're about to get into that. So, thanks for setting it up for us.
All right, guys. You guys take care. Talk to you guys.
Hit them straight, Coach.
Kevin McHale's been our guest, as he normally is.